I'm so glad for everybody that's here this morning. I am sorry that our pastor isn't here. And probably none of you like to hear the pastor preach more than I do. Probably no more than my wife does. And but I did convince her to come to church this morning with me, even though she knew I had to preach. So I'm just kidding. She never complains. So to me anyway, she never complains where I can hear it. And so I'm very grateful for that. And I've drug her off a few places to preach. And she's never complained. We went and spent a week all the way in Woodward one time, or most of a week, if you can imagine that. And, you know, that's like, I wasn't even sure there was a reason to have a church there in Woodward. I mean, that's like God-forsaken country. You know, I thought, why in the world? And if you go further than that, I'm not sure that he even knows it exists past that through the panhandle of Oklahoma. I'm not sure how people find that, but anyway, that's a long ways of nothing if you go past Woodward. And so, but I'm glad. I'm glad for great people. I'm glad for God. Years ago, I walked away from God. And for lots of reasons, I don't want to go back through all that. One of these days, maybe I'll feel like giving you a testimony about it. But for lots of reasons through church, I decided I wanted nothing else to do with God. And I walked away. And for several years, I did things in my life that I said, well, you know, because I was raised very strict in the free wholeness movement. I was raised very strict, and I said, well, if I do this and this and this, I don't ever have to worry about it again. I don't have to worry about preaching. I don't have to worry about even going to church. God will just leave me alone. And so I went my merry way and for several years. And for some reason, me and Melanie got together and met. And I told her when we met, I said, there's two things I want you to know that I don't never plan on doing. One of them is, I don't ever plan on getting married. And the second one is, I don't ever want you to ask me to go to church because I don't plan on going back to church. Well, needless to say, for some reason, a few Sundays after that, she said, you want to go to church with me this morning? And me and my hesitation and thinking, well, I'm good. I've done enough things that God won't mess with me. And so I went to church. Little did I know that Sunday morning, sitting in the back of that church, for the first time in I don't know how many years, the Spirit of God reached back and touched me that Sunday morning. And there was no, I don't even think there was an altar call given that Sunday. I never went to the altar that Sunday, but God let me know, I know where you're at. And I know who you are, and I still love you. And so life has transpired from there, and of course we got married, and now here we are standing behind the pulpit again, preaching the gospel. And really, you know, had no desire. I told God, I'll go to church, but I don't want to preach. I don't care. I don't want to sing. I don't want to preach. I don't have to do nothing. Just let me sit there. Well, you can see how that all worked out. So anyway, it's been awesome though. I've learned more in the last few years about the love of God, about the grace of God, and about the power of God than in all my life before of what I ever learned. I've learned more about God and how much He loves me. That ain't what I'm preaching on today. I was good today. I did give Robbie a note that told him where the verses were today. So y'all should be proud of me. Even the pastor would be proud of me. Don't forget to tell him that, because I don't usually remember that. So we're going to go to the book of Hebrews chapter 9. Begin with verse 11, and I'll try not to preach. I can't hardly read that clock back there, so y'all may be in trouble. My wife has my phone, so I can't see that time either, okay? So y'all just may be in trouble today, but probably not. But Christ, becoming high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered into He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify through the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Well, that's a whole lot, wasn't it? I really want to read two chapters here this morning, because there's a whole lot in these two chapters right here that I want to preach about. So that tells you I got two chapters I want to preach about this morning. But to do that, I'm going to go back and we're going to start at the very beginning of time. So we're going to take a little trip this morning. How many of you do good with daydreaming? I know Steve's pretty good about it. I've seen his eyes close back there and his head bobble around, and I knew he was daydreaming a few times. I'm just kidding you, man. But it's true, isn't it? he'll probably catch me daydreaming. And my wife always accuses me of when I get down to pray. She'll say, "Did you fall asleep?" And, you know, there is times I have, and there's times I've fallen asleep. But most of the time, sometimes I haven't, but there's times when I have. And she'd say, "I think you're sleeping." And as long as I'm not snoring, I'm good. But let's go back. Let's go back to the very beginning. You go back in the book of Genesis and you'll find there that God created everything. God created the heaven, the earth. He looked at it all and he said, "It is good." That was good work. And, you know, being a carpenter, I love to build stuff, and when I like to stand back at it and look and say, "Man, I like that. That's really cool," you know. But that don't always happen either. But God made everything. And then he decided, let's make man in our own image. He reached down and formed man from the dust of the earth. And the Bible said he breathed into man, and man became a living soul. So God created man. He created out here to the side. He made a garden. It was the Garden of Eden. You'll have to excuse me. My throat's been really bad the last few weeks. But I'll get over it in a little bit. He created this garden over here, and he put man in that garden. And it wasn't very many days till he decided, "I will create him a helpmate." He caused man to go to sleep, and he took from him a rib and created a woman. And that woman and that man was in the Garden of Eden. Now there came a day that there was a serpent that came along. I think snakes are nasty. I think they're of the devil. I always think they are. Anything that slithers around on the ground on its belly is just, I don't like them. But there come this little snake, and evidently it had legs at that time. And it talked to Eve and it said, "Have you eaten of all the fruit?" And she said, "Oh no, there's one tree that we cannot eat of, or the God said that we will die." And the serpent done this just like the devil. He said, "Oh, you're not going to die. God just knows that if you eat of that fruit, you're going to become smart. You're going to know the difference." Now you see, before they ate of that, they didn't ever have to get up in the morning and worry about what they was going to wear. There was no worry about fashion. There was no worry, none of that, because they did not know the difference in good and evil. But you see, they partook of that fruit. And because of that partaking of that fruit of that tree, man got the knowledge of good and evil. And man got a knowledge. And so what did God have to do? He had to provide a plan. He had to devise a plan. That because man had sinned, there had to be a way for man to come back to God. We could get the Bible if y'all want to. Let me get mine in case y'all decide you want me to. We can turn over to the first chapter of the book of Leviticus if y'all want to. And we can read the law. Would y'all want to do that this morning? Leviticus, Deuteronomy. You know, there's about three books in there of the law. We could read that so you'd know the law this morning if you want to. But let's don't do that, okay, for sake of time. Because we'd probably be right on through afternoon service and miss lunch and everything if we was going to do that. Because there is a law that was given to Moses that brought man and God back together. To be a priest, what was it? You had to be able to quote the first five books of the Bible. You had to know them by heart. You had to understand every law, that if you sinned a certain sin, there was a certain offering that had to be offered for that sin. If you, you know, and whatever it was, you know, you could go back through there. There's many, many of them. But you had to know whether it was a turtle dove, or whether it was a goat, or whether it was a lamb, or whether whatever it was that you had to bring that had to be without spot, without blemish. So what they do, they set up and decided to sell them out of the church, which, you know, kind of made Jesus mad when he is here, didn't it? But there was a plan that was made, that was a nasty job for a priest. It was not a luxurious of wearing a suit and a tie and of looking nice on Sunday morning. But when it came to their job, it was a bloody job that they had to kill that lamb or that goat or whatever that sacrifice was. They had to spread him out on the altar in a certain form and fashion. They had to lay him there and burn and give an offering to God. That was the way it was. There was so many laws. It's a wonder they could even keep up with them. And probably lots of them didn't, because it was too hard to understand. They could not understand, but God gave them laws they had to abide by. So then, once a year, the high priest went into a place. You know how God gave them the dimensions and gave them all the layout, how to build a tabernacle. And they built a tabernacle. Inside, in the furthest inner court of that tabernacle, there was a little room that was called the Holy of Holies. In that room was the ark. And I believe there was the rod of Aaron in that ark, the rod of Moses. And I can't remember what else. There was a few things in that ark. Right now it's just leaving me and I can't remember what was in there. But you understand, there was an altar built. There was an ark built, and on this ark was the cherubims that stood up. And then there was a seat there. And I want you to know that there was a place that once a year the high priest went in and he offered sacrifice. And when he offered it, that was to roll the sins of man ahead for 1 year. Boy, and you thought going to church was tough. You thought it was tough because I was late because I couldn't get donuts this morning. And man, you thought it was rough because the preaching was kind of dry and I got sleepy this morning. And you thought, man, that service seemed like it took hours to be over with. That preacher preached forever this morning. And you thought it was tough now. How would you have liked to have been then? How would you have liked to have had to go out and catch a silly goat, check him all over, and if he wasn't perfect, you had to go find another one that was perfect to take to church to offer for your sins? And then you had to depend on the preacher once a year. And it was in such a place in this Holy of Holies that they tied a rope around the preacher. And he had bells on the bottom of his garment. Because if he went in and had sin in his life, God would kill him in there. And so if they didn't hear the bells jingling, they had to drag him out. That's the way it was in those days of church. So that went on for years and years and years. All the way up. And finally, when you read about Jerusalem, you find that they had a temple that was absolutely built, laid out exactly like God had laid it out with Moses. And in there again, inside the middle of that temple, there was a place called the Holy of Holies. And that's where God and man met. That's where the priest and God met. There was a veil over that place. No one could enter there but the priest once a year to go into the Holy of Holies. And that's how church was in that day. That's the way it was. They didn't go to church every Sunday. I don't really know how their time frame was laid out, but they didn't go to service on every Sunday. They didn't get a choice to drive all the way across to another town or somewhere else to go to church. They knew what they had to do. They were still under the law. And then there came one Christmas morning, one Christmas day when you read about it. I know it may not have been Christmas Day, but that's what we call it. There came one Christmas day that Jesus, and let me take you back to that scripture we just read. That said, if the blood of bulls and goats had been sufficient enough, that's exactly what would have passed as the perfect plan. I'm preaching to you this morning about the plan. But if you would read that scripture again about the blood of bulls and goats, had it been sufficient enough, that would have been the perfect plan. But it was not the perfect plan for man. It was not the perfect plan. But there was a taxing that was made one day and caused Mary and Joseph to go to a place called Bethlehem. And while they were there, there was a little child born in a stable that in the lowly of in the poorest of conditions, he was born in a barn with animals. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. But let me tell you, there was a star that shone in the east that caused men to travel across the world to see this baby and this little child, because here was a lamb that was born that was going to change the history of the church. A lamb. So there was that little baby that was born that day. Little did they know that this young man would raise up and at the age of 30 years old would become and travel around that country and preach the gospel and tell people, I am the lamb that is going to be offered. And you see, it wasn't but 3 years later, whenever they decided to crucify him, they walked him up a hill to Golgotha, to the place of the skull. And there they nailed him to a cross. They hung him up to die. And when he died and said, it is finished, the sky became black. The cloud, the thunder and lightning began to roll. And when he died, there was a sound in the temple at the Holy of Holies, because there was a veil across that temple that was suddenly ripped in half, that gave me a new access into the place where we could go to God and ask him for forgiveness of our sins. Yes, yes, not just a bull or goat, but a sacrifice that was given for man that our sins could be gone. Praise God. Not just rolled ahead, but gone. Gone. Forget about them. What you were before you ask him to forgive you. He does not remember what you were. All he knows is what you are. You see, you don't know me. You know me for about a year. Maybe about a year, something like that. We've been close to a year we've been coming to church here. You don't know all about my past. You don't know all of what I've done. And if you think I'm going to tell you, you're crazy. I haven't always been good, but you haven't either. And let me tell you, if God don't remember what I was, I sure ain't going to remind him. No. I drove by a place one day, and I remember after I got saved, and I said, God, and this, you know, I wasn't by myself. I wasn't saying this out loud, but I said, God, I'm sorry I ever went in there. And instantly the Spirit of the Lord just spoke to me and said, went in where? Went in where? I don't remember you going in there. You see, it's been washed by the blood. It's not the blood of a bull and goat, but it is the blood of Jesus Christ that saved me and washed me. Though my sins were as scarlet, they are white like the wool. Glory be to God. Well, y'all may not be feeling good, but I am. If the blood of bulls and goats had been sufficient, there would have been no need for another plan. But there was one sitting at the right hand of God that said, Father, I will go. I will offer myself. I will be the sacrifice for sin. I will give myself that man can be restored back to God. Glory to God. It is now a perfect plan. It's not like the Garden of Eden where they did not know that there was sin. They didn't even know right from wrong. They did not know. And so it's not like that we don't know. But it is the perfect plan to give God and man communion again. That I, me, you still don't know what I used to be. And it doesn't matter what I used to be. It matters today that my sins are washed away. But you see, even me as a sinner that trampled on the blood of Jesus Christ and walked away from God can now walk into the Holy of Holies and can bow down before God and communicate with God Himself. That's me. That's me that has access into the Holy of Holies. Praise God. Praise God. Man, I'm so glad. I'm so glad for the blood of Jesus. I'm glad that He died for my sins. I don't know what kind of sins you committed. And it doesn't matter to me. The same blood. It doesn't matter if you never. Melanie's got an aunt that I don't guess she can't remember when she got saved. She's just been saved all of her life. So she's never been out in the world of sin. She's never drank. She's never done all these things of the world. But she doesn't know exactly the day she got saved. Let me tell you, the same blood had to save her that reached way down and saved me out of the depths of sin. There's not a sin too great that the blood of Jesus can't wash it away. There's not a sinner too rotten that the blood of Jesus can't wash them clean. And there's not a person too perfect that the blood of Jesus still don't have to wash them clean and save them. Oh yeah. Man, I'm feeling good this morning. It's time to quit, isn't it? And I'm just now feeling like preaching. Praise God. The blood of Jesus Christ. The blood, the plan that was made. And not only did He stop there, but He said, this same Jesus that you saw go away is coming again. Yeah. Not only did He give us a chance that we could be saved, but He also gave us a chance that we could go and be with Him when it's over. I've never seen Him. How about you? I've never seen Jesus that I know of. I might have and didn't know it. Because he, you know, you never know how his angels are going to appear to you. So I may have seen him, but just didn't realize it was him at that moment. So, but as far as I know, I've never seen Jesus. I've never looked into his eyes. I've never looked into his nail-scarred hands. And I've heard people say, well, you haven't seen him, so you don't really know that he exists. Yeah? I bet you've never seen your brain either, do you? I would say you probably never seen your brain. I have seen one. I only have seen one, and that was my daughter had a brain tumor taken off, and for some reason she talked the doctor into taking a picture on her phone of her brain while she had her in surgery. And it was weird. But she's the only person I know that has a picture of her brain. And so, but I might have seen an X-ray that said it was there, but I've never seen it, but I believe it's there. Yeah. I believe it's there. I believe it. And so how much harder is it for me to believe that Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for my sins? It's all built on faith. But let me tell you something. It's as real and alive as it can be. It's the longest living book, the most soul book there is. It's the divine word of God. And it says that we can have access into the presence of God. I have felt his moving. I have felt his presence way too many times. I've been in service when the power of God was so strong that you couldn't hardly stand to be in the presence of him. So don't try to convince me that it is not real. Don't try to convince me that the power of God is not real, because I know from my experience that it is. And you see, you may tell me, you may go in here and say, well, this verse right here isn't real. You may tell me God's not real. But there's one thing you won't convince me of. You cannot convince me that my testimony's not real, because it's mine. You can argue all you want whether Moses crossed the Red Sea, whether they crossed it in a place this deep or a mile deep. Doesn't make me one bit of difference. I'm not here to argue about it. But there's one thing I do know. I'm like that old blind man that Jesus healed. And they came to him and said, man, did you know he's a sinner? He said, sinner or not, I don't know. And I don't really care. This I do know. I once was blind, but now I see. You cannot convince me that the blood of Jesus does not change us. It's not an emotional rush that I get on. It's not like riding a roller coaster. But what it is when I feel his presence. It has nothing to do with screaming and hollering. That's just the way I do it. Has nothing to do with anybody around me or too much sugar that I ate today. But what it does, it lets me know that there's a God in heaven that has set me free and set me on the right path. Glory be to God. How about you this morning? How about you this morning? What do you think about Jesus? Now, I'm from old school. I know I'm not that old, but I'm getting there. I have been around church a while. I probably gnawed my share of teeth marks in the back of the church bench. I probably slept my share of pallets underneath the church bench. And that was before we had cushioned seats. You know, I know these young people, it's hard for them to imagine, but it is even before we had cell phones. That was even before we even had a phone in the church. I mean, you know, we barely could turn the lights on. You know, we did have electricity, you know. I'm not that old. So I'm from the older school of church. And we learned lots of little songs. And I know, I don't get up and sing. I can't hardly sing anymore. I ain't got enough voice to do it. I used to sing a lot, but I don't anymore. But I do remember one old song. And don't get scared. I'm not going to sing it to you. But I remember one song that old guy, you know, anybody else old enough to remember when they used to sing just little verses? Yeah, see, I'm not the only one. This old boy'd get up and he'd say, spoke to the wind and the wind obeyed. Never was a man like Jesus. He spoke to the wind and the wind obeyed. Never was a man like Jesus. And he'd just sing that. He'd just sing that. About him saving my soul. Never was a man like Jesus. And he'd just sing that over and over until the power of God would fall down. Because all you could think about was, never been a man like Jesus. Never been a man like Jesus. Never been a man like Jesus. No one ever spoke to me like Jesus. No one ever did me like Jesus. No one ever saved me like Jesus. No one ever healed me like Jesus. But you see, it's Jesus. And that's why we're here today. That's who I serve today. Never been a man like Jesus. Praise God. All right, I'm done. Glory to God. I don't know. I don't feel done, but I'm done. I'm out of stuff to say now. Glory. Glory. Never been a man like Jesus. Never been a man like Jesus. Stand with me if you will.